Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 2, day 2 of our study of Ezra. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Ezra 2, 21 through 35. Hey, real quick, I want to invite you to join our brand new Facebook group. For now, it's only open to podcast listeners and those you guys invite. It's the perfect place to connect with others reading and studying the same things you are right now on the 10-Week Bible Study podcast. To join in, head over to 10weekbible.com for a link or search 10-Week Bible Study in Facebook. All right, on with the show. Welcome back to the 10-Week Bible Study. Again, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. Would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. Fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Ezra 2, starting in verse 21. The men of Bethlehem, 123. The men of Netophah, 56. Of Anathoth, 128. Of Azmaveth, 42. Of Kiriath-Jearim, Kephirah and Beeroth, 743. Of Ramah and Geba, 621. Of Michmash, 122. Of Bethel and Ai, 223. Of Nebo, 52. Of Magbish, 156. Of the other Elam, 1,254, of Harim, 320, of Lod, Hadid, and Ono, 725, of Jericho, 345, of Sana'a, 3,630. Sana'a was obviously a very large place. What's interesting about this list versus the previous list and the other ones that we'll see here is it's interesting the way that they had to account for people. The previous list we saw people's names, and now we're seeing people from their towns and their villages. And it could be, I mean, there could be a lot of different explanations that we don't fully understand because none of this goes into the details of why they accounted for the people the way they did. But it leads us to believe that these people may not have known their family lineage anymore. They may not have known which clan or specific family they were from. They knew which tribe they were from, but they didn't know which specific family, clan, and lineage they were from. They just knew the town. So if you were someone from Bethlehem, you knew more than likely you had come from one group of people or the other historically, but they didn't know for sure. It's been a couple of generations that they've been in Babylon and Persia now. And one of the things that's interesting is when they left and before they left, Jeremiah, the prophet, encouraged every single person that was going to get deported and carried away into captivity in Babylon. He encouraged all of them to go there and build houses and settle in. It's going to be a while. Don't go there and thinking it's going to be 6 months or a year and you're coming back. He says, go there, plant gardens, build a house, succeed, prosper while you're there. And apparently a lot of them did, to the exclusion of even remembering who they were, it seems. And you can imagine in the melee, a lot of them probably lost their family. Many of these people that are coming back may have only known where they were from, but their parents were killed, their aunts and uncles were killed, and these guys that are coming back were little when they got carried off. Presumably, most of these people, their family and their parents and grandparents were slaughtered during the sieges of Jerusalem. There were three different campaigns that Nebuchadnezzar led against Jerusalem and three different captivities. Daniel and his buddies were taken in the first captivity, but there were two more attacks on Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar and a total of three captivities where they took people to Babylon, with the third being kind of the worst and the final. And again, presumably, in each one of these things, the people that they carried off, they were carrying off mostly young people whose parents had died, things like that. We don't know for sure with all of them, but it would stand to reason that if you were a kid and all of your family's dead and you are you know, brought to Babylon, the only thing you may actually know is what town you came from. You may remember that, or someone may be able to tell you that, but outside of that, you don't know your family history. So reading through these names and how the names are accounted for, I find a very fascinating window into, you know, where all these people came from and how they got there and what life must have been like. Imagine what it must have been like if you did. If what I'm saying is, and this is just a theory, but what I'm saying is correct, and you got carried away, your parents, your grandparents, your aunts and uncles, they're all dead. And it's just you and your cousins, you know, you're between the ages of 3 and 12 or 15 or something like that. And you're carried away into captivity, into a place where they don't speak your language, by people that just killed everyone that you knew and loved. And then you've got to resettle and try and make something of yourself. Imagine what it must have been like when it was time to return. I can't imagine the strange feeling of coming back into your homeland, having not known that since you were a small child, potentially, and then coming back to a homeland that was destroyed a generation or two ago. What a strange thing. As well, the town of Sana'a was, I don't believe, like the largest city in all of Israel. So it's a very interesting thing that there are so many people that came from that one town. Did they multiply faster than anybody else while they were in Babylon? Or was everything else just so destroyed? Was that one city that Nebuchadnezzar was kind to? It's a very interesting set of numbers that they've got here. But anyway, I love looking at these kinds of things and asking those kinds of questions. And again, there are detailed analysis about all of these different things with postulations and sometimes answers over why the numbers were the way that they were and why there's such a small list of towns that people are coming back from. There were a lot more towns than this in the land of Israel and Judah. There's a lot more explanation that can be had. And again, I want to reiterate that it's not my aim in this to be too academic in our understanding of this. I like to look at this, especially these kinds of names and things like that, from a little bit more of a 10,000 foot view. And I like to just allow these kinds of things to help me perceive what it must have been like. And with some of the questions that I've talked about, you know, what it would have been like to have come back from that? What would have led them to number and name people the way they did in the first place? And again, sometimes it's just questions you can come away with. Even the greatest of scholars, sometimes it's only questions that we can be left with, but they are questions that we can continually dialogue with the Lord about. And that doesn't mean that whatever we feel like the Lord may say to us is actually reality. I mean, it's not like because I pray and maybe I feel like the Lord says, well, this is the way it is. That doesn't necessarily mean that's the way it is. That's how a lot of really weird theologies and ideas get started. Because we don't actually fully know something. We can get revelation from the Holy Spirit. We don't know something unless there's proof of it, unless we can find evidence. Just because we feel like the Lord showed it to us or we believe it, that doesn't make it true. Truth comes from actual evidence that we can find in history and things like that. But the Holy Spirit can lead us into revelation, into greater understanding of these things and how it applies in our life. So I love thinking about these things and actually putting myself in these people's shoes. I think there's a tremendous amount of value in doing that as we read through chapters like this in the book of Ezra. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time. Hey, thanks for tuning into the 10-Week Bible Study Podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, would you consider leaving a review for it on your podcast app of choice? It really helps other people find out about this podcast, and my heart is for people to fall in love with God's Word. Thank you.